Hearing none. How many additions or amendments?
Yep, so I gave you the surplus items list. It would be the only addition to the agenda. Things we'd like to get rid of before the meeting.
May I have a motion to approve the amended agenda? Under 9.
So moved.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any questions or concerns with the consent agenda? May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
A second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Medical staff, who is the designated?
It's gonna be me today, so it was gonna be Paige, but Paige is busy. So the minutes that are in your package from our October meeting, basic went through the credentials that you guys approved at your last meeting. Really, the only topic of discussion was we did discuss the shortage of IV fluids. That does continue. We still have a good supply here for now, but you know, they're still anticipating about 3 months till back to normal operations, so we continue to conserve where we can. Kara also just discussed that order set change through Sanford that the providers all agreed upon. And then we discussed the transmission-based precautions around the flu and just what our staff need to be doing if getting the flu vaccine, first of all, and if they don't, having a mask and those types of things. And then Tracy gave an update on the heart failure quality improvement project that they took over to the symposium. That was about it from the meeting.
Next, we're using debt credentials?
Yep, and then credentials is on the next page. So a number of appointments and reappointments today. So Joseph Alex is emergency medicine. So all the appointments are telemedicine. We're just continuing to grow those providers with the expanded use of telemedicine. Kimberly Hamer from hematology oncology, Charlotte Rogers from the burn care unit, Christine Blyven, radiology, Kevin McDonald from radiology, and Miguel Palos from radiology. And then as far as the reappointments, we've got Dr. Santos from Dakota Vascular, Desiree Muirhead from pathology, George Hirschbeck is a locum CRNA we use, Mark Rasmussen is a locum ER provider, Andrea Roberts is another CRNA locum, Jennifer Hillstead, our ER provider, Brianna Davis is cardiology with Dr. Steppen, and Paige Meester is a cardiology with Dr. Steppen. We did have one termination. Sarah Crilly was a locum CRNA that we used a couple years ago. She hasn't really worked and chose not to re-credential at this point. So those are the credentials for your approval.
I have a motion to approve the privileges and credentials.
So moved.
I'll second.
Make a motion to accept.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, good morning. Statistics for the month of October. Acute admissions, we had 4 more than last October for the month. Year to date, we're up by 29 acute patients. Acute patient days, we had 59, which is 2 more than last October. Year to date, we've had 497 acute patients, which is up 90 or 22%. Swing bed admissions, we had the same number as last October at 4. Year to date, we're currently down by 7 patients. Swing bed patient days, we had 35, which is 20 fewer than last October. Year to date, we're at 349. That's still 72 higher than last year, 26% increase. Observation patients, we have 1 more than last October at 15. Year to date, we've had 19 fewer than last year, at 108 patients. That is a 15% decrease over last year. And then the OR patients, we had 41, which is up 3 for the month. Year to date, we've had 329 OR patients. That's up 76. General GI is currently up 13 for the year. Ophthalmology is up 12. Pain management is up 31. And then urology is up 29. ER patients for the month, we had 153. That was up 17 patients. Year to date, we're currently at 1,369 ER patients. That's up 34, or a 3% increase over last year. Transfers to other facilities during the month, we had two fewer than last October. Year to date, we've had 150 transfers, and that's 17 higher than last year, or a 13% increase. Ambulance runs for the month, we are at 33, which is down 1. Year to date, we're at 319, which is up 34, or a 12% increase. Clinic visits, we had 796, which was very busy, was 214 more visits than last October. Year to date, we've had 7,248 clinic visits. That's up by 940, which is a 15% increase over last year. Physical therapy for the month, we're at 424, which is 40 more than last October. Year to date, we're at 3,915. There was the prior year number is incorrect. It should have been 3769. So the increase over last year is 146. Radiology, we had 396 for the month, which is up 84. Year to date, we've had 3,460 exams. That's up 257. And then mammals for the month, we had 95, which is up 34 for the month. Year to date, we've had 514, which is up 52. And then lab, we had 3,816 tests. That's up 836 tests for the month. Year to date, we've had 27,320, and the prior year number is also incorrect here. The number got pulled from last year's report, which excluded January and February for PT and lab. So that's why those numbers are incorrect. That should have been 23,293. So the increase for the year was 4,027 tests. So they're currently up still by 17% though.
It was like 43%
increase. Yeah. Yep. The balance sheet. Our unrestricted cash increased by about $51,000 during the month, giving us an ending balance of $7.5 million. We have a funded depreciation cash of $2.4 million, so total cash is just under $10 million at the end of October. Days cash on hand ended the month at 210 days. That's down about 2.5 days from September. As far as compared to year to date, unrestricted cash is over $1 million higher than where we were at last year, or at the beginning of the year. Patient receivables increased $593,000 during the month with an ending balance of $6.5 million. That is still about $35,000 less than where we were at the beginning of the year. Of that $6.5 million, we expect to collect the net patient receivable amount of $3.3 million, and that's about 51.2% of total gross patient receivables. Any questions on that?
So you're just trying to
pardon?
48 doing the math, is that discount rate?
Yeah, 51.2, yeah, so yeah. So that's what we expect. So yeah, discount rate, yes. Correct. The income statement, we had an awesome gross revenue month of just under $3 million at 2.95. That is $360,000 more than what we had budgeted for the month. But it is $116,000 less than last October, but last October was like a record gross revenue month, so it's still great compared to where we've been. For the month, inpatient revenues compared to last year were down $142,000, outpatient was down $50,000, and clinic revenue was up $76,000. Year-to-date gross revenue is at $27.3 million. That's up $1.34 million compared to budget and up $1.5 million compared to last year. Inpatient revenues compared to last year are up $252,000. Outpatient is up $520,000. And then the clinic revenues are up $740,000. As a percentage increase over last year, gross revenue is currently up by 5.9%, and about 3% is due to our price increase that came into effect January 1 of 2024. So about 2.9% increase due to volumes. Contractuals for the month were at $1.3 million. That's 45.7% of total gross. Last year, for the month of October, we are at 44.3%. Year-to-date, we're currently at 46.7%. Compared to last year, we were at 45.7%. So we're running about 1% higher in contractuals compared to last year. Expenses for the month were at $1.5 million. That's up $128,000 compared to budget and up $18,000 compared to last year. Year-to-date expenses are at $14.1 million. That's down $78,000 compared to what we had budgeted and up $722,000 compared to last year. And expenses as a percentage of gross revenue, this year we're currently just under 52%, where last year we were just over 52%. So right about the same as where we were last year. EBITDA for the month was a positive $117,000. That is $122,000 lower than last October. Year to date, we have a positive EBITDA of $1 million. That is $400,000 higher than what we had budgeted, but it is about $19,000 less than last year. And then our net income from operations, we like to see this number positive, and it was for the month, but $19,536. And then year to date, we show a positive net income from operations of $55,000. And that is $87,000 better than where we were at last year. And then we showed a positive net income for the month of $42,920. That's about $65,000 better than what we had budgeted for the month, but it is about $98,000 less than last October. And then year to date, we show a positive net income of $310,000. That's $535,000 better than what we had budgeted, and about $108,000 better than last year to date. Any questions? And then the AR aging report. Our total AR days are currently at 69.9 days. That's an increase of 5 days overall. The HB or hospital billing is at 71.8. That's up 6.6 days. And then the PB or professional billing AR is at 57.7, and that's down 5.3 days. The AR and CPSI did decrease by about $5,000. To $283,929, and then the not release did decrease by about $32,000 compared to last month. Looking there. They're gradually working those. I think a lot of them will have to end up writing off. There's a lot of credit balances, and that's what's taking them so long to work. So they've been moving those balances over to Epic. They're kind of working on those first, the credit balances. So if somebody has accounts in Epic, they're moving those over and applying them to those accounts.
Like way older than 120
now. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so most of those are appeals, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just your normal balance, but mm-hmm. things that you've had to appeal or...
A lot of them are self-pays, though, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What percent do you think is self-pay?
Of that number? Probably, yeah, it's probably at least 95%+.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But on our books, we only have, I think right now, per our estimate, we're expecting to cut maybe 5%, I think is what we're using as an estimate. We've had that for the last year, so it's not really increasing our contractuals at all because we've already booked that we're not going to be collecting on 95% of that amount. So
what are the rules for when that goes over collections? Does it or doesn't it?
It should have already gone. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to decide now, if we're even going to send them to collections or just write them off.
Three-year-old.
Yep, and then the credit balances, like I said, that are in there, I think there's probably $40,000 plus the credit balances in there. And those take a lot more time to research. Does the credit go back to the insurance or does it go back to the patient? And then if it does go back to the patient, like I said, if they have a balance in Epic, then to move that over. So that's very time consuming. So, and we have like a lot of little balances, like under $100. It just takes a long time. The Charity Care write-offs and bed debt. Charity Care, we did write off $7,241 during the month. Bad debt transfers, we transferred about $7,300. And then the bad debt recoveries, we collected $100, so not a lot of activity there again. And then the capital expenditures, we did purchase two of the three clinic exam tables for $12,509. The third one did come like November 1st or 2nd, so you'll see that one on here next month. Otherwise, that's all we got.
That's just an amazing price for an exam. That's crazy. They really got high.
I would agree.
It's like a procedure table.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have a motion to approve the financial report.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. Next is we have the budget review.
All right, so I passed out the budget with a 3% increase for salaries and wages, and then also in your little packet there is also the numbers for a 5% increase for salary and wages. Otherwise, really nothing's changed since we went over it at the strategic planning meeting. So I don't know if anybody had any other questions. The total with the increase to the 5% increase came out to about $97,000 increase, but after Medicare comes in and reimburses us for our costs and stuff, the actual net effect was only about $32,000 just because of the reimbursement that we get from Medicare.
I see that one of the changes is the net patient revenues changes.
Yeah, because it changes the contractual.
Yeah, that's why.
Yep, with the Medicare reimbursement. Yeah.
There's a $200,000 jump in non-operating revenue.
Between what we had
projected in the budget.
Oh, yeah, from this year to next. That's interest, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a lot of it's just interest.
So we have more cash on hand.
Yeah. So I base the interest on $10 million of revenue or of cash this next year versus, you know, with the change healthcare and stuff, our cash was down during the year. Yeah. Yeah, that's
Jerry, do you have any stuff too?
Jerry does not have
no. I should have sent it to him.
Yeah, I forgot it.
Yeah.
What's your recommendation?
That's up to you guys.
Bill, industry wide, you're between 3% and 5%. Sanford's looking at about 3%. For other facilities at that, you know, 6%, just depends where you're at. I know we've done a lot of market analysis, and maybe Mara can speak more to that. We're going to be more competitive if we're at 5%, obviously, but it is a financial, increase. The other part, too, with our union contracts, the M&A just got 8% as of October 1st, but they won't see an increase in January 1, so I'm just kind of in a comparison stage there.
So what we're proposing is the non-union.
Correct.
Right. And I know we've talked about it previously too, but, you know, where do we want to be that min, or max? Right now, you know, we're trying to get a lot of our positions at least above that min. So I think this would help keep us on track if we would go with the 5%.
The county as a whole did 5.
Yeah.
They have a budget.
The county as a whole, but, or the county employees budgeted 5%.
They did.
And this is the group that doesn't get steps. So they're the ones who get steps throughout the year.
You don't have any merit, right? Like 3% cost of living, 2%.
It's what you guys approve, that's what this group gets.
Is there any thought of that, or no?
There's been thought of it, it's just making that transition. We used to, up until we had some financial concerns and then it went away. So ideally that would be the route to go. It's just then making that jump, because it's a significant financial investment as well.
Yeah, or it could be, you know, the 3% cost of living and 2% average merit.
Yeah.
It's nice, because then you have the ability to reward those people who really are significant.
Yeah, no, I think that's a goal more than that.
So do you want to motion?
Yeah, good point. Well, I think the 5% aligns with what the county has done, and I think that would be appropriate for this group also.
And like, we can swing it, like we won't be going last payroll vibes again.
It increases payroll by about 32,000 annually.
Not that much. Annually.
Yeah, that's
right.
The overall increase, I mean, is that from current to this is pretty significant.
Because of the Medicare, whatever they do.
The cost reimbursement. So we gotta recoup some of that.
And are you finding contacting to be an issue at all, or new employee hire versus?
The margins are definitely getting bigger.
Well, definitely. No, it just new hires coming in.
Well, I guess your salary's higher 5% more. Whatever. Yeah, okay. Is there a motion for one or the other?
I'll make a motion to go with a 5% increase.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
An audit thing makes up for it too.
Yeah. All right.
How many times?
We should use that as justification. I was going to use that later on.
You should keep track of how many times you use it over there.
Grant submission, me?
Yep.
So annually we apply for the capital improvement grant and the planning and transition grant through the Department of Health. Part of those grant submissions, we need board approval to apply for those grants, so I'm just asking for your approval to apply. The deadline is December 20th, so I've got the application started, but they'll be both submitted by December 20th as long as they get your approval.
Is there any like matching funds or something? That's why is it?
Yep, so there's a pool of money. So set aside for capital improvements for rural health, and then there's a pool of money for planning and transition. It's two different grants. That's what the question was.
No, are they matching? Do you have to come up with?
Yeah, so there's, matching. I don't remember to have the total amount for capital improvements, but usually there's more money than it's available, so then they give everybody kind of the same amount. So I think it's
up to 125,000, but then we have to contribute, was it about 50,000 if we would get the whole grant amount?
So we have to put 50% of whatever they give.
50%.
Yep. And I think it's 3 million total for the state that they break it down. But there's always more projects than there is money.
Okay.
And you wanted to add the surplus in here too.
Yeah.
So I'll maybe just touch on that. So we did. We approved some chair replacements earlier in the year, so we had some back in our surgery waiting room, two chairs and one couch that we're looking to add a surplus.
and then we replaced one of the ER beds, so getting rid of that, and then we replaced a piece of equipment down in the wellness center, a lap pull-down machine. So we're just requesting here to add those to the surplus, and we'll get them posted on the GOV site.
So I move to approve the submission of grants, the two grants entrants, and to approve the surplus items for sale.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Holiday hours, just wanted also to get your approval, obviously, we were talking about it, but we'll be closed tomorrow on Thanksgiving. We're planning to be closed on Christmas as well and New Year's. The one that always is kind of up in the air is Christmas Eve. We've talked to the providers and they want the clinic closed at noon. And I guess I'm recommending to the board that we approve closing at noon, but also then we pay staff 4 hours of holiday for that afternoon. That's where I was going to use the funds.
Oh, sorry.
totally joking. But Robin estimates it'd be about $13,000. But I think it would be a great gesture from the board to the staff to show our appreciation. So that's my recommendation for you guys.
Would that affect all your staff? Everybody,
if you're working or not, yep.
If you work
everybody
or not,
that qualifies for the time.
So then they'd get holiday pay if they were working.
Yep. So then if it's not approved, they would have to use vacation time to cover that time, even though we closed the clinic. So that's generally how it works.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's where the Grinchiness comes in.
Well, so but to clarify, you're paying the people that are here for those 4 hours of holiday pay.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what about then somebody who works 7 to 7 or something like that?
So they'd get the 4 hours for Christmas Eve and then they'd get 8 hours for Christmas Day.
Oh, okay.
This would just be that.
So you're not paying holiday pay from noon till midnight, mm-hmm. that whole time?
Just four hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
And then that's some of the staff here part-time?
What's that?
If you're 20 hours, like prorates or whatever.
Yeah. Anybody that doesn't qualify for like holiday pay is not included.
Yeah, just if you're mm-hmm. qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'll move to accept that proposal.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, I'll keep going. My report is in your packet. Just a few updates that I wanted to provide, but we do have the compliance position posted. We've been using the services of Strategic Management Services now for about 4 months. We're going to end that contract as of January 1st. The person that's been working with us feels she's kind of caught back up and has everything established for somebody to kind of take over. So. Mara and I have an interview for that position, and we also have another applicant as well, so hoping to get that position filled. Providers will have their annual meeting next month in December, so what they do during that meeting is elect their new chief of staff and vice chief of staff. In the last couple of years, we've only had one position, so we haven't been able to fill both positions, so it'll be nice that we'll be able to fill that this year. Then they also review their annual bylaws and rules and regs, so we will be bringing that to you in the January meeting for your approval there. Under the quality section, we did receive the Chartis Award for Performance Leadership in 2024 in quality and also patient perspective, which is awesome. How you achieve that award, you have to score in the 75th percentile. Our facility scored higher than that in both of those categories, which was great to see. The CLIA survey, we had surveyors here on November 6th and 7th. CLIA survey went really well. Heather and her staff do an awesome job in the lab. Just a lot of positive comments from the surveyor. They're always looking for something, and Heather and her team just did an outstanding job there. And then the mammogram recertification, so we need to recertify our mammogram program every 3 years. There's a lot of testing that goes involved with that, and then it gets sent over to the radiologist to make sure how we're interpreting it is accurate, how we're testing it's accurate, and then how the radiologist reads it is accurate. It's pretty intense, and we heard back last week that we received recertification, which is wonderful there as well. So great job to Nicole and her team. Under growth, just want to talk about chronic care management a little bit. That'll be starting January 1st with Brooklyn and her team in the clinic. Something we've been looking at for probably over a year now, just trying to get it all figured out. But basically, it's for Medicare patients that are eligible for the program. And the goal of the program is to keep people out of the hospital on acute stay. We want to make sure they're getting to the preventative visits, they have food at home, they're taking their medications, all that stuff, coming back into the clinic for preventative screens, in turn to hopefully have a healthier patient down the road. So they have to enroll in the program. There is a cost to it that we would bill out through the clinic, but the enrollment piece and all that will start kind of as of January 1. So we're working through, I don't know anything else you want to add to that.
So is the cost covered by Medicare?
It depends on each person's copay, but there could be, I don't know what was the potential max month
through. I think they said the potential max that they've seen was like a $17 copay, yeah, depending on the individual's insurance.
Per month.
Yep. They plan to provide us with a breakdown once we send them our details of our payer, so that we can speak to that a little bit better. ChartSpan essentially does all of the work for us, so we send them information on our eligible population, and then they outreach and they enroll them, and then they're the ones contacting those patients on a monthly basis. So it's really all outsourced. And prior to enrollment, they go through all of that with each individual patient based on their payer to make sure they're aware of what their payment requirements might be.
Is it virtual then?
It's via telephone.
Okay.
Yeah, so they have to at least talk to that patient or consult with that patient for 20 minutes a month in order to bill for the service. So they have an RN that does that on our behalf, but then they'll also be able to have access to Epic, where if they talk to the patient and they need to tell the provider something, there'll be that communication back and forth. So it's kind of another ears and eyes on our patients that we don't always see. So
yeah, that'll be like an extension of our clinical team, I would say. And our nurses will work really closely with them and keep our providers involved. The goal is to keep the patients out of the ER and out of the hospital and keep them in the clinic more so. So that hopefully, you know, if they're kind of declining at home, this monthly phone call might catch that and have them schedule a clinic appointment rather than them having to call the ambulance 4 days later because they didn't come back and didn't recognize the warning signs.
And they don't do any kind of like a home visit for rubs and things like that.
No.
So check.
No, they would have to make the recommendations for home health and those types of things. So. And we tried this program a number of years ago independently. It just didn't work because you have to continue to keep that population going. So this is a much better option to provide services for the chronic care patient. Cool. Facility master plan. So we'll have our kickoff meeting December 11th with Carlos Anderson. So basically that'll be the meeting, kind of idea generation, setting the vision for the projects. This is to kind of align, you know, facility projects with where we're growing as far as our business. So kind of an exciting time just to get everybody's perspective on that. I have asked Lori and Jerry from the board to be part of that first meeting, since they're on the finance and personnel committee. And then there'll be four or five follow-up meetings after that. Every 3 to 4 weeks we're going to meet as a group, and then we'll have the final product that we'll be able to present to the board. Probably I'm estimating kind of in April for that point there. And then under the finances, I just highlighted a few law changes that are going into effect as of January 1. So the earned sick and safe time went into effect actually this January, and they're just making some updated changes of what qualifies under that, what you can use sick time for. So a number of changes that the state made there. We're now going to be required to post all of our salary ranges on our job postings. So anybody that employs more than 30 folks needs to do that on all their job postings. To kind of curb violence in healthcare facilities, there's a number of changes around violence preparedness. We have to submit a plan, which Amber has done already. So we're good there. There's now a requirement for surgical smoke evacuation systems in our surgery area, which we have in place already. There's going to be a new Office of Emergency Medical Services. This is kind of big for our ambulance.
They made an office for it?
They made it. It's going to report to the governor. Appointed by the governor. So there's
they asked for money, so they made an office. That's what happened.
I don't know the specifics.
I know you don't.
Yeah. But I think it's transitioning away from advisory board where they didn't have any power for funding, and now they'll have power for funding. That's really the hope from us that need funding for ambulance services, that they'll have a little bit more of the governor's ear. So I'm hoping it's positive. And they are gonna have one hospital administrator from the state on the board as well. And then they'll continue to have advisory folks, and I know they've reached out to some of our ambulance staff as well, potentially being involved, so.
Does that start the first of the year?
It will get appointed as of the first of the year. So it may take a little time to get that kind of going. Nursing assistant competency, it's only been available in English, now it'll be available in different languages moving forward. And then there's about 5 pages of new health insurance laws. Just numerous different changes with copays and what insurance providers need to pay. So just wanted to provide kind of updates. I think we've got everything in mind there. And then the last thing, Lenore's been part of our group for a long time, so we want to recognize you and thank you very much. This could potentially be one of her last meetings, so we just want to say thank you and give you a little token of our appreciation. You've been through a lot with us.
It's a lot better than it used to be.
We appreciate everything you've done.
Well, I appreciate where we are at.
I could open this later, of course.
It's kind of like Christmas now.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
We were counting, and I wanted to be accurate, so I wasn't gonna. I think we said June of 15,
yeah.
Right? Was your first
nine?
Meeting.
All right.
Nine and a half.
Yeah, that's when the new board came into effect from the county to the.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that was the first switch. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yep, we're going through the minutes, and I think that's where.
Yeah,
very
cool.
So thank you very much.
You're clear when that happened?
She's still here.
Thanks. Yeah. Somebody caught me and said, now that you're retired, because I used to say, I'm working, I can't. I didn't work anymore, so.
That's all
thank
I have.
Thank you, very nice.
No Sanford update. I apologize, but he couldn't be here today. He'll be here next month.
All right. HR.
Yeah, so October and actually November have been a busy couple of months as far as hiring. We were able to hire an LPN, an RN, a senior accountant, and CNA in October. We did have two terms. One was RN going to casual status and then a staff accountant. And then, yeah, in November, we were also able to hire 4 positions as well. We do have, basically, our current openings are going to be that RN, LPN, and then that compliance HIPAA specialist, which we are currently interviewing for. And then we do have 2 travel nurses right now. One started last week, and one started yesterday. So they will be here for about 13, 14 weeks. I'm so hoping that will relieve some of the pressure on our nurses for right now.
Is that working?
Yeah, so far it's been going well.
Mm-hmm. Well, pretty local folks, so
yeah.
They're able to travel back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we're at.
So for October, our social media did pretty well. Our Facebook reach increased by 9.5%, so we're sitting at about 19,800. Content interactions were up by 102%, and our posts increased by 51.9%, so it was a busy month, so we have 41 posts on Facebook. Our Instagram reach increased by 103.5%, and our content interactions have increased by 59.4%, and we had 29 posts on Instagram for October. On LinkedIn, our reactions have increased by 45.5%, and our page views also increased by 30%. Postings on social media during October included for Trunk or Treat, breast cancer, mammograms, physical therapy, Dr. Jagger, hiring, Healthcare Food Service Week, Mental Health Supply Chain Week, Pumpkin Decorating, Patient Commons, Ladies Nights, Facilities and Engineering Week, Respiratory Care Week, First Responders Day, and more. Our monthly email campaign had an open rate of 43.28%, which is still falling under the industry average or just slightly higher. Our traditional advertising with newspapers, we promoted Dr. Jagger, mammograms, outreach, trunk or treat, and swing bed care. And our radio ads are for Dr. Jagger with gynecology and for our mammograms. For events, we had trunk or treat on the 31st. We had 10 businesses come. We did lose a couple. We had one that was out sick. There were about 400 kids that came through, which is much higher than previous years. And I did have a couple businesses thank me because I know it was kind of a debate if there should still be a trunk or treat or not.
Really? Why is that?
People feel businesses shouldn't have trunk or treat because it takes away from the door to door. So some people are mad that we do it. Some people are grateful we do it. So it's kind of the, do we keep doing it every year or not? But the numbers are increasing every year. So
yeah, I like it because like
it's a one-stop shop.
People are going to town.
Yes. And that's one of the businesses that said that was keto, and they live in the country, and she said they never get kids at their house, so they love doing it.
Right. Our church does it, and I wouldn't get not one.
Well, I went, and I noticed it was like all the people who don't live in town.
True.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah. So we'll see next year what we feel.
Interesting.
Website setup, Dustin has it now where it's going to start tracking our analytics on this so that we can monitor how many people are reviewing the site, where they're going when they're on their site, which I know, Molly, you had previously asked how many. I looked yesterday, and for the last 3 weeks, we're sitting at about 1,200 people that have viewed
really?
The website. Yes.
Whoa.
In the last 3 weeks.
That feels like
great.
Granted,
take into account that also counts like our Facebook ads. So when I do a Facebook ad, if anybody clicks on that ad, it pulls them directly to the website.
Sure.
So that's going to count some of that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's more, I think, than we think it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I
know. With the updates to our Google account, I also was able to reinstate our Google Ad account that has not been used since probably 21, I believe it was. So I did start a display and a search campaign to help draw in some more of that website traffic.
Cool.
And hopefully I can have all the analytics on that next time. I also established a Spotify advertising account for MCMC, which went live on November 17th. I'm going to see how that one goes before we start doing any other streaming online services, but so far it's hitting our younger market, which I think is good. It's hitting, I think our highest percentage when I looked yesterday was between the 18 and 30 year olds.
Yeah. Is that like reels? Is that like
music?
Well,
music.
So the other day I saw on Facebook a reel from the hospital.
So that was probably one of our ads.
Okay.
Because those can go through. I create
cool.
them and then Facebook splits them between like whether people see it as a post, a reel on your stories. They kind of
they know
push
it
differently.
Know
it. Yeah. But I'm
trying to stay off Facebook.
You're either going to hear it or if you have it on your computer or your phone, you'll see a video also pop up with it. I have a little picture video that goes along with it.
Those golden retrievers just draw you in. But it was there, and I was surprised, but that was cool.
Well, good.
I'm
glad you saw it.
Yeah, I watched it.
That's about all I have.
Cool, good job. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, this is your update.
Monica had to leave, so I'll just highlight a little bit too. Ambulance stays busy at 42 calls for the month. Cardiac rehab, usually we do cardiac rehab Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She's in capacity, so she's been doing some overflow on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, wow.
So good, bad, but she's been busy. As of November 1st, it's now a requirement through CMS and the federal government that we have to report our COVID vaccination rate, influenza, and RSV data weekly. So that's been a change for our infection control, but they're handling that. And then maybe I'll hand it over to Amber if you want to talk about
sure.
quality a little bit.
That's fine, yeah. Okay. Just a little bit on with nursing. So we have these wearable panic buttons for nursing staff.
Yeah.
And that's only kind of been over on like the hospital side. Now we've added another, I think, like a receiver station in the business office as well. So now there can be a couple in the business office and then also two over in the clinic.
In the business office, there have been needs for panic.
Well, so mainly just like the area where like money, like collection kind of, yeah.
There gets some angry patients.
Do you have them under the...
So we have four of those throughout the facility, but so you know, with only four, they're not accessible to everybody. So like especially our collections.
I was gonna say Lisa
area.
Technically has one, but it's like right behind the wall. Like she'd have to turn around and hit it on the wall.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like a loud doorbell.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't really go far.
No.
It just goes within the business office, and if they hear it, they're probably not gonna want to go in and help. You know, they want to leave the area.
So is it integrated with law enforcement? Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So the panic buttons go initially. They go to Luke and Monica, and then a call gets sent to the company, this Heartland company, and then they will call here. And if nobody answers, they will automatically send police. If somebody answers, you know, they can say false alarm or whatever kind of thing. So
I have to tell you a scenario we had. I was involved. There was a really belligerent patient in the lobby of the clinic, and I walked out there to try to intervene, and the guy got pretty aggressive. And so the registrar pressed the panic button. The law enforcement guys called our clinic to the phone room, which was way in the back. They didn't know anything about it. They said, oh, I'm sure that's... And so they never came. And so those are the kind of things that I think you have to really sort through. How is the flow of information? And for me, law enforcement was our Achilles heel, because they have turnover, or they forget, or they call and nobody knows. You have to be.
Yeah.
So for registration, we've always been told to call if we can before ever pushing the button. So like if you're in the clinic and you see somebody's up here, that desk should call, or vice versa. Only use the buttons if you absolutely need to, because of that reason.
Yeah. We even had physicians out there trying to deal with the guy, you know. I mean, a couple of the docs heard how loud he was getting it. Mm-hmm. But it was just that didn't go the way we wanted it to go.
Sure.
So drilling it sometimes is not a bad idea.
Yeah. And like with the under the desk one, we test those monthly, and then we test these ones too, the panic, the wearable ones as well. So
it sounds like you've had to use them.
What's that?
It sounds like you've had to use them.
We have a couple times.
Yeah.
They go off
I'm
a
trying.
Lot.
Yeah. okay.
We test them a lot.
Yeah.
You've got multiple.
So that's pretty much it with those. Let's see, IV fluids, we talked about that. Quality, so like Luke had said, I submitted the workplace violence incident response and action plan to MDH. And then just talking more on the new, we'll have new reported things to report on in 2025. A lot focusing on like social drivers of health and that health equity kind of stuff that I had talked about at strategic planning. Also, on September 9th, we went live with a new incident reporting system. So it's called Safety Zone. So previously it was all on paper, so I absolutely love it. It's great. We actually used SHIP grant funds to purchase this. It was only $5,000, which is very inexpensive compared to other systems that I looked at. And so it's pretty simple, but I really don't need it to be that complex. So hoping that we can continue purchasing that in years to come, since we only will get that grant funding for this year. But yeah, staff has been utilizing it, and I've heard good feedback. It allows me to kind of analyze data a little bit easier that way. So there, I have an event summary. That's from on the second page, starting from September 9th, just so you can kind of see the different events that have been occurring. So
what is a medication event?
Medication event is like anytime you have a medication error or like an adverse drug reaction. So whether a patient got a wrong medication, or maybe the ID rate was not running at the right rate. I mean, it can be as small as that, or yeah.
Near misses though too, right?
Right, yes. Yeah, so it's that.
So are they near misses too? Near miss, where you're like,
yes.
Oh, this had a potential to be bad if
right.
we don't.
And you want those reports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
So this is great for like people. Just like you want to have a lot of reporting, because otherwise, because of
they're
course,
hiding it otherwise,
exactly, know. Yeah. Like we're not getting told of things that are happening, so we can't do anything to improve processes and education and stuff like that. So
does elopement mean somebody's took off?
Yeah. So none of those are elopement. It's either against medical advice or left without being seen. So
okay.
Like say if you know they were in the emergency room and. They were told, you know, it might be a little bit of a wait, just let me know they would, that would be like leaving, you know, left without being seen if they don't see a provider, or AMA if the provider has seen them already and then they decide to go. So, and that
sure.
can be for a variety of reasons. but yeah, like with the medication event, we did actually with this, there was quite a few near misses where an event almost happened but didn't.
So you break those down, I'm assuming, by category.
Yes, so in like, with each category, different people will get notified. So I get all of it. Luke gets most of them except like medication events. That's Kara, our pharmacist, and I. And so we work closely together on like, what can we do for education? A lot of times it's just education, or what do we need, the process change? Do we need to remind providers, you know, about ordering duplicate medication, you know, stuff like that. Depending on kind of where things are happening, like falls, for example, if there's a fall in lab, Heather gets a notification as well as myself so that we can kind of work together. I like it because it helps me not work in a silo as much where like, you know, people are getting notified. And I try with the paper forms. I kind of was trying to work with other people, but this is nice, like to just, they just get a notification and, and yeah, so, but yeah, there's that, and then this next page is just our ratings for the entire hospital. So this is for like all numbers, so like our inpatients and ER and clinic and everything put together. For quarter three. So we did quite well looking at comparison with benchmark there.
So the one on the left is the benchmark?
Yep, so the orange line is the benchmark. Yep.
Oh, the orange line is the benchmark.
The orange line is the benchmark, and then where the gray line goes is our numbers.
Yeah.
So we're doing
yeah.
pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I have.
And does it, the one thing on the NRC, does it have to be a perfect 5 or whatever?
9, 10.
Yes, 9, 10.
Nine,
ten.
Four.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the two categories, I think, that we're kind of a little bit below the benchmark.
Yeah,
yeah.
So your would recommend facility and one would recommend provider. Yep.
But I mean,
so.
There's a lot of people who will give it an 8, you know, just because
mm-hmm.
we're all skeptics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hard.
Yes, hoping. Yeah, I think most people, though, even just I send out all of our comments every 2 weeks to our department managers, and I mean, we have overwhelmingly good comments, which is really great. And yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
Good. Yeah.
Next page, we have a 2-page agenda.
Oh my God, I just noticed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, can I have a motion to go into closed session to conduct the annual performance review permitted by Minnesota Statute 13D.05 Subdivision 3?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
Yep.
All in favor?
Yep.
Aye. Closed? Cheers.